If you just turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8 is in the Church Bible, page 166. Really, the Israelites have been on this circular route, a journey which have taken just a few weeks. It's been taking them 40 years to complete. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a recording of God's goodness, of God's mercies, of God's faithfulness, but also a calling for the people not to forget God. So, chapter 8 of Deuteronomy in verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you should keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds, your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. It's the word of the Lord, and we thank God for it. This morning we come before the Lord with real thanksgiving in our hearts, don't we? We give thanks to God for his mercies to us. We open with those verses from Psalm 136. For his mercies endure forever. We sung of his endless mercies, did we not? And we celebrate the fact that God has given again to this nation what is a bountiful harvest. I understand it's better crops, better grain, better fruit this year than many years. It's been a bountiful harvest. Those of you who have fruit trees will probably know that they have been clothed with fruit in abundance. We have been so blessed. Of course, we are concerned with, as we think of harvest, we are concerned with the farmers who are losing their livelihoods. a farm not too far away from this town, which has been in the same generation for years and years. They've now gone into bankruptcy, and we hear that, and that's extremely sad, very sad. But look, here this morning, there's absolutely none of you who are starving. Not one of you are starving. Not one of you have come hungry this morning unless you forgot your shredded wheat or didn't have time before coming in. This, you know, we are so blessed, aren't we? We really, really are. And we should count our blessings, and that's one of the reasons why we did that exercise a little earlier. We should. You know, one of the old songs says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord has done, basically. Well, we couldn't be able to even begin to count them, because his mercies are like the sand of the sea, really, aren't they? The sand, you know, by the sea, we just couldn't be able to count them. I mean, the greatest thing that all of us, if we know Jesus, is the gift, the most fantastic gift of all, that he rescued us from our sins. As our sister said at the back, that we're no longer in the pit of our own making, but he has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it is right for us to count our blessings. Although we're in an economic downturn and the credit squeeze is affecting many, the food is still on our tables. Is it not? The shops and supermarkets have full shelves. There are certain people, I understand, who actually freeze. They get all bewildered and confused. They can't go into supermarkets now. There's a name for it, but they see all of the shelves, the supermarket shelves, full of different, you know, you take a cornflakes, for example, and you know, you go into most supermarkets, and not only do you have the main variety, but you have the own brand variety, you have another variety, and it doesn't even stop at that. You can have a 500 gram, a 750 gram, a key. And this is, for some people, that is very confusing. They panic. They panic with all this variety. And would much prefer the old corner shop where the shop served you. But the shelves are full. There's every supermarket in and the corner shops which will have full shelves, and that's something to be thankful for. That really is something to be thankful for. We are so blessed. You know, if we're concerned, and this isn't a political sermon at all, but if we're concerned about the pesticides, if we're concerned about how the cows are reared and the chickens and so on, we can make alternative choices. We can go free range, we can, you know, go organic or whatever. We have that opportunity. We do. We go home and perhaps unthinkingly turn the taps on and water comes out. It's by and large clean, it's by and large drinkable, isn't it? God is good to us. I get passionate about having these sort of services. We, every time we come before the Lord, in our private times at home, we thank God. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He is so good, he's so great. But this today is an opportunity to really reflect on God's grace and God's goodness. We don't know how long he will lengthen out these providential mercies to us. We don't know. So we should be thankful and also compassionate that God has provided for our material needs. I hope that when we sit down, when we take our food, lunch, dinner, whatever, that we say a thank you to the Lord. I hope families, you do thank the Lord. Even if your schools, you know, aren't encouraging you to say what we term grace before meals, I hope that you will still say thank you, Lord, and remember the starving. Remember, have mercy on those who haven't got what I've got, even if it is fish cakes. Just thank God. I think we need to appreciate what we have before we haven't. We need to appreciate what we have before we haven't. Let's not take our food, let's not take our drink for granted. It's so easy to do so, isn't it? Most of the world don't have what we are blessed with. For many, life is a daily struggle. It's a struggle to eat. Millions of people, including little children, go to bed hungry at night. These effects, friends, 38,000 children will starve today. In fact, they will starve to death. 38,000 will die today because they have empty stomachs. 800 million people in our world are malnourished. And we take our water for granted, don't we? But most of the world just can't just turn on a tap and get drinking water out of it. If you cannot be thankful for what you have, if you cannot be thankful for what you have received, be thankful for what you have escaped. This is a service to render the Lord our thanks for his mercies and his goodness. God's giving deserves our thanksgiving. God's giving deserves our thanksgiving. It is a time to reflect on how blessed we are and to be content, which is a biblical command. Be content with such things as you have. Don't be a complainer. It's a reminder to do what we can to relieve some of the suffering elsewhere. Friends, some of the countries which we know that there's corruption everywhere. There's corruption within our own society, within our own culture, within our own governments. And some of the countries do live in such terrible conditions. They have corrupt regimes and so on. There's enough food to go around. God's seen to that. But because of the corruption, it just doesn't get to the right people. We must show compassion to the downtrodden and the poor. The poor seem to get poorer. So none of us, this scripture which you just read from Deuteronomy 8, will remind us that we can't afford to get arrogant. We can't take these things for granted. If we think, hey, it's because, hey, I've worked hard, or hey, you know, I've done my best and I'm a good person, then God may well have to humble us. We may become arrogant, we forget God. This is what happened to the Israelites. We must not put our hope in wealth, we must not put our hope in material things, because they are so uncertain. That's why the Bible says to us, doesn't it, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Then these things will be added to you. We must, every one of us, put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. There's one New Testament scripture I'd like you to, if you want to keep your finger in Deuteronomy 8, but 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it's on page 1055. 1 Timothy in chapter 6. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Look, it isn't what we have in our pockets or what we have in our cupboards that makes us happy. It's what we have in our heart. It's what we have in our hearts. It's what we have in our hearts. In our reading, Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Israelites, as you know, are in the wilderness, they're in the desert, and it was here the Lord had sent hardships designed to test them in order to know what was in their hearts. It was revealed what was in their hearts. Verse 3 specifically says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall live that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And that's true today, isn't it? It's absolutely awful to be hungry. It must be terrible not to be able, you know, some of the stories, and what takes place in many, many countries where people just literally have to drink filth just to stay alive. Must be awful, must be terrible. But even worse is to die without this, without Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus used this, didn't he, after he'd been tested and tempted himself, having been in the wilderness for 40 days. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for this word. Don't starve yourself. It's even worse to starve yourself spiritually, because eternity is at stake. And this is what the Lord is reminding the Israelites here. What is in your hearts? You know, it specifically mentions here the lack of bread. That's our common staple thing, isn't it? They were hungry. The Lord gives them manna. God demonstrates his care, doesn't he? You see, God wanted them to realize that the hardships, but also his tender care, his love, his mercy, was designed to teach them that man should not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, the promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God, the life? And in verses 7 to 10 of this chapter, Moses describes the good land where the Lord will bring Israel. It will be your riches compared to the desert where they have spent the last 40 years. Verse 10, the last bit, says they will have eaten and be fully satisfied. And then, of course, from verse 11, as we read, Moses warns the people that in the midst of Canaan's abundance, they must not forget the Lord their God, who led them out of the wilderness, who protected them, cared for them, and tested them. They must not let pride get the better of them and attribute their abundance to their own strength, their own merit, their own goodness. But verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he, it is he, it is he, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, who gives you what you have and what he wants to bless you with. Hallelujah. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness. No room for pride. No room for following after other gods. So of course we haven't got a rabbit in our room which we're worshipping, or a cow or something else. No, but what idols have you put there which is taking your time, which is taking my time away from the Lord? What are we loving more than God? Help me, Lord, to tear it down. Please, Lord, so that you can have me all. I don't want to forget you, Lord. You're so good, you're so faithful. Your goodness to me, I just want to bless you. And I want others to know that, okay, I may be finding my circumstances tough. They may be a challenge to me, but I've got you, Lord. And I know I've got a better country which I'm heading for. Hallelujah. We said last night at the youth, as we're talking about the, we sung about the bride, and that if we're believers, we're the bride, means we've got a bridegroom. He's Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we may or may not like weddings, but we all sure like the food which goes with weddings. We love that. And the greatest feast of all awaits us. There's going to be a most wonderful marriage supper, the supper of the Lamb. That's what we're heading for. Be thankful now. We don't get, hey, if we're believers, we know we deserve God's anger. So when we receive his love, when we receive his forgiveness, his mercy, when we receive his provisions, we're amazed at the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. Hardships there may be. Faith will be tested. We will suffer for Jesus' sake. But if we're set on pilgrimage, if we're set on walking with Jesus, following Jesus, a brilliant canyon awaits us. We're going to be singing about that in the moment. We are enjoying even now that bread which comes from heaven. And one day, you see, Jesus himself described himself as the bread, didn't he? If we're eating of him, we're not going to go spiritually hungry. And we have something else to bless other people with as well. It's not just for my benefit, not just for your benefit, but that others may taste and see how good the Lord is. Finally, yes, God is preparing a harvest of souls. Are we all? Are you? Am I going to be among those whom the Lord personally welcomes into paradise and who will share his incredible, majestic kingdom with? Are you? Do you know if you were to die today that Jesus would welcome you because you have put your faith in him? Because you have made that decision, because the Holy Spirit has drawn you to himself and said, I renounce my sin, I'm sorry for my folly, I'm sorry for all of my pride, my arrogance, but thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for that my sins, the punishment I deserve, you, Lord Jesus, took upon yourself. We sung in that hymn just now, that song just now, about the angels and the tares. Alex has preached good on the manna and on the tares. Get hold of the CD, remind yourself what was said. Brilliant stuff. But there could be tares even amongst us. Unless there's repentance, they will be cast on the fire of God's wrath forever and ever and ever. If you have come to Jesus this morning, if even now as we praise and worship the Lord, you're on your knees, maybe not literally, but figuratively, humbling your hearts and saying, Lord, forgive me. I need you. I need what these other people have got. I don't want to forget you. I need the life of the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. The peace of God. So whatever troubles are going on around me, in me, or whatever, I still know that you are for me and not against me. And that one day you will welcome me home. If that should, this is going to be the greatest Thanksgiving day you'll have ever had. Let's pray. Mark, can you lead us in prayer, please? And then we have some praise and worship. And if during these final moments, you know, we must give God the glory and give him time and space to minister to us. If you do want prayer, for whatever reason, we're happy, the elders are happy. If you need healing, to anoint you with oil. And if you just need to get close with the Lord, get right with the Lord. We've spoken about the natural oxygen that we're enjoying, but the greatest thing is the air, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, Mark.
I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, I shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Through the Lord, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will protect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. Lord, we do have so much to be grateful for, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your goodness, your grace, your mercy we've heard this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for daily provisions, Lord Father. Pray, Lord, that you will humble our hearts, Lord, where we may have turned our eyes away from you, Lord, and onto the world, onto foreign gods, Lord Jesus. Bring us back to that place, Lord, of wholehearted thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we do thank you for sacrificing your Son, Lord Jesus, for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for stretching out your arm to us all, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your salvation, Lord Jesus. May each one of us, Lord, have praise and thanksgiving on the tip of our tongues, Lord Jesus. May we not be a cynical race of people, Lord Jesus. May we not be grumblers, Lord Jesus, but may we be ambassadors, Lord, who are shouting from the rooftops the thanksgiving for you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We ask that in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus.